Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Do you ever realize that possibly you're the killer of dreams?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I'm a practical person, right? So when people put choices in front of me or they're talking about something and hows and whys of why it won't work out or whatever, I'll be pretty blunt with them. I don't believe in wasting people's time.
Today, the universe has decided to tell me that I have done something very, very wrong, and I'm not really sure how to handle it.
Oh, I love this. Okay, here. I'm here for it. What's up?
I got a call. My sister said one of her friends, who I didn't know, was looking to start an influencer page and a podcast.
Okay.
And she wanted some advice on how to do it.
It feels a little late in the game, but okay.
Well, yes. And I'm jaded. And I've done it. And I know the amount of work that it takes. And the payoff is very little. And really, the time where people would succeed was a long time ago when it first was launching.
Right.
And I shared all this with her.
Yeah.
And I said, if this is a passion project for you,
yeah,
where you want to do it because you have a passion for something, I go, that's different.
That's great, because yes, you've got these things inside you and you want to speak them, right? Like to be being true to your truth and all
yeah,
that. Right.
You want to have a podcast where you share your thoughts and ideas and hopefully grow a small following. Great. If you want to have an influencer page where you post content every day or whenever you feel like it and you don't really care, you're doing it because you love it. Fantastic.
Right.
But if you want to make money,
if you quit your job before you called me,
yes,
bad decision.
It is very difficult. Do not fall for what it looks like glamorous on, because very small amount of those people are making real money anymore, which is why the number of influencers and content creators has dwindled.
Okay.
So I had this conversation with her and she got off the phone and she said, I think I probably need to give it some more thought. And I said, yeah, you know, like that's it. Today in the news, there's two big stories. First, Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast is one of the biggest names in YouTube. He's worth $1 billion. Yep. And he posted a video that he posted 10 years ago of himself. And here he is talking to the video.
Hide me in 10 years.
Hey.
You're going to see this in 2025.
Oh my God.
It's 2015 for me right now.
Oh, this is crazy. Look how young I look.
Dude, what if I'm dead?
Thankfully, not dead.
If I don't have a million subscribers when you see this video, my entire life has been a failure.
We actually have dozens of channels with millions of subscribers.
Yeah, completely. Very, very many, 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 million, many millions.
You know what? I'll tell you one thing that's real. Is the 2015 version of him is not as good looking as the 2025. You've seen that, right?
Well, you know what helps
get
that?
Rich,
you know what helps that?
Money.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And he has a lot of it.
When people get rich, they definitely get better looking. Jeff Bezos, bro, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I see you, and I see you, Mr. Beast.
Big article that popped up in my email earlier today about Mel Robbins. If you're not familiar with Mel Robbins, she's an influencer, podcaster.
You love her.
Yeah, she's the behind the let them theory, when you hear people say just let them.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how she never thought she was going to make it, how she was broke, how she believed in herself, and she just kept persevering, and that now she runs this multi-million dollar business and she has a successful podcast.
I mean, but it's a success story and it's a rarity. It's not, you know.
But I just told this girl who had every dream in the world that dream was most likely not going to come true. And here's two stories in the news today about people that made their dreams come true.
Yeah, well, if you had half the followers of either of those two influencers, I bet you'd be less jaded and in a better mood about it.
Oh, well, should I call her and tell her I made a mistake? She should go for it?
No.
Oh.
She still has to pay her mortgage.
If you saw a complete weirdo taking pictures inside your windshield at Target over the weekend, it was me!
I mean, honestly, you're lucky somebody didn't throw something at you from their cart, right?
I was shocked and I could not believe it, because I had parked so far away to my car as I was walking through the parking lot. How many people had things hanging from their rearview mirrors?
Yeah.
I thought nobody hung things from their rearview mirrors anymore.
I hope you blurred out plates.
It's just inside of the thing. 1-800-330-9999. What do you have hanging from your rearview mirror? Valerie.
One of those little trees in the scent of black ice and some rosary beads.
So you have the combination of the most popular items. So rosary beads, you know, anybody that wants to feel like they're safe and protected while they're driving, that's a great addition. But my son, he's 26, and all he wants for the trees, the only scent he ever wants is black ice.
Why is it so popular?
Black ice, I don't know. It's comforting, but it makes your car still smell brand new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like dating somebody with Axe armpit spray.
Okay.
It's very, very appealing.
Rev, what's hanging from your rearview mirror right now?
I literally have both my high school and college tassels across and my Costa Rican mini flag.
How do you even see out the window? I don't even understand how you drive the car.
You can see everything.
What year did you graduate high school? I just need to know how long that tassel's been out there.
2016.
That's not that bad.
I mean, that's 7 years
ago. 7 years,
that's,
I guess.
It's 7 years.
Very proud. Yeah.
Did you have this car the whole time or some of these transfers from your old car?
Oh, no, they've transferred like three cars.
They go with them.
Just keep going.
That's right. If the car goes off a bridge or goes into a ditch or whatever, then the only thing is like, just make sure you get my tassels, man. If you saved me, the tassels are next.
Kathleen, what's hanging from your rearview mirror right now?
Right now, I have one of those little air fresheners, those trees you talked about. Mm. And I have a little stuffed reindeer from last Christmas that I never turned down. Right.
Do you love Christmas? I mean, like, is it your favorite holiday?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm just lazy.
She's not about it. She's like, I mean, I guess so. It's, as far as holidays go, it's pretty great. But you're just riding around with this reindeer that smells like the inside of your car now. I love it.
I see a lot of people still hanging things from their rearview mirrors. I don't think it's that unusual, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Well, that reindeer is going to be there till at least January. No sense moving them now.
Just keep it there till Labor Day next year.
He's staying.
Stephanie, what do you have hanging from your rearview mirror?
I have a giant parking pass from my work, but I can't take it off because anytime you take it off, it rips. And then I have to go to this HR lady that's awful. So I just leave on the giant parking pass everywhere I go. I can barely see around it, but I don't want to have to deal with that lady.
You see a lot of those, the parking garages and for work. I know my husband has his badge hanging from the rearview mirror because he just grabs it before he goes into the office.
It surprises me that more of that isn't like a problem where people are like, I'm going to steal this parking badge, right?
Huh.
But I mean, I guess obviously if it's specialized for one place, mm-hmm. nobody wants to park at your job. It's not like there's
nobody's coming. Yeah, nobody's coming to our place. No, yeah.
It's not like there's a thief that's like, I've been waiting to park at that place, you know.
Justin, how about you? What do you have hanging from your rearview mirror?
I'm old school. I keep a pine scent hanging from the mirror, but I don't rip off the plastic all the way. I actually do it the way it's supposed to be, a little plastic at a time. And then after a week, I pull it down just a tiny bit to the next branch. And so on and so forth. You got to pull it out just a little at a time. You don't want to overdose.
That's right. If you pull out too much, your eyes will be watering.
Think about your childhood bedroom. What posters were hanging on your wall? 1-800-330-9999. My mom called Raven, and she was so excited. Anna! Yeah, Ma. You got to come over, Anna.
Yeah.
I got something today. I was at the store and I saw, I got it. She's going to love it.
Okay.
She got something special for my teenage daughter, Hayden.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what is it? And she goes, The People magazine. Everything is The People magazine.
It's not just people.
No.
Right.
The People magazine has a special edition Taylor Swift. 200 pictures in there. She could hang it on the wall. I said, Ma, like the kids, like they don't hang posters on their wall anymore like we did when we were kids. And then I started thinking about it. I go, right? Like, no, they don't hang posters. So my daughter has like those little lights and then she's got like the little tiny LED lights. And then she hangs pictures with look like little clips, like
little
laundry
hooks. Almost like a laundry line. Right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But it's not like how when we were growing up where we would have these big, giant posters of all this. I remember Harry Styles. People were getting the life-size cutouts of him.
Yeah.
But that's not the same like hanging a poster on your wall.
Yeah. Across the street, my neighbor's daughter, she has Morgan Wallen. She has a full size of that.
Cutout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
So I started looking into it. I'm like, wait a minute. Do they even sell posters anymore? Because we used to buy them at like the store. And
I feel like all the ones that were printed are still in the store right now.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Like, I mean, those have got to be available because they must have been printing a ton. We're like, yeah, this is our year. And then that was like 20 years ago.
What do you think was the best-selling poster of all time? It's the one you think it is.
Is it Michael Jackson?
No.
It's not Michael Jackson.
No, it's Farrah Fawcett.
Oh. But that's not what I would have thought it was.
Yeah.
When I was at the age of hanging posters, I was not looking for the Farrah Fawcett poster. You said it like it should be so obvious to me.
I would think so. I feel like everybody has that vision. Or, I mean, I guess if you're over the age of 30, you have that vision of Farrah Fawcett with the feathered hair in the red bathing suit. What was hanging on your wall when you were a kid?
Well, I mean, I said it already, but I had Michael Jackson up there.
It's really shocking to me.
I mean, why? I mean, I was in 1986, I was 8, 9 years old. I mean, he was the biggest artist on the planet by far. And then, of course, Madonna came out, so I had some Madonna. That was probably my first exposure to like a hot lady on my wall. And I didn't know what it was about. And I think I had a Back to the Future poster, too.
Yeah, Back to the Future was rated up there in the movie posters of all time. I had one poster on my wall for many, many years, and that was of Jordan Knight of New Kids on the Block.
Nice.
Yeah. And I used to kiss that poster every night.
Did you really kiss it?
Yes. It's so cliche, but I would kiss Jordan Knight poster. Like how?
Like an 80s movie.
Nobody does that anymore.
I don't think anybody, I never thought anybody really did it except for like, you know, John Hughes films,
no.
I guess. But okay.
No, if you were like a teenager in the 90s, like you did that, you know, or tween. How about you? What was the poster that was hanging on your wall when you were a kid? 1-800-330-9999. Do kids still hang posters of their favorite celebrities on their walls? I don't think many do. I know my daughter doesn't. So when my mom called all excited because she had bought People Magazine has like a Taylor Swift edition out right now. It's got like 200 glossy photos of her.
Fantastic.
She thought she was going to hang them all over her walls. And I was like, it's not like the 80s and 90s anymore in the early 2000s.
Crusher of dreams. You just wanted to destroy your mom's heart. I do remember I had an Indiana Jones poster at one point. Mm. That was awesome.
Yes. All right. Your turn. 1-800-330-9999. Who was hanging on your wall when you were a kid? Sandra.
I had a huge tapestry of Bon Jovi. John Bon Jovi. Just his head.
Yeah.
And it said John Bon Jovi.
Nice.
Did you kiss him?
Oh, yeah.
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 I told you.
I mean, I'm thinking it was probably the bad medicine years where the hair was really, really teased up.
The hair was up high. The tapestry was so big, it took up almost the whole size of the wall.
Right. The hair was like the size of a queen-size bed.
Carol, what was hanging on your wall?
It was the Bee Gees, Lee Majors was a big one, and Sean Cassidy and Andy Gibb.
Lee Majors. Wow.
See, that I don't know who that is.
I know.
He's an actor. That's great.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. And the Bee Gees, speaking of feathered hair, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
thanks for sharing. Hey, Veronica, who was hanging on your wall?
Totally like Justin Bieber and Taylor Swift, the Jonas Brothers.
So, I mean, that's not forever ago. So you were still hanging posters, actually.
Yeah, I'm only 26. So we used to get these teen magazines from the grocery store. And
It
always had a big poster in the middle.
Tiger Beat. Remember Tiger Beat?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger Beat was the jam. Thanks for the call.
Is Tiger Beat still in print?
All right. Come on. Hey, Danielle, what poster was hanging on your wall?
I'm kind of like Anna. I had Jordan Knight as well, and I did kiss him every night.
See, I told you I wasn't alone.
I can't believe it. Can't believe it. Do you feel now that you're older that you chose the right New Kids on the Block member to have your crush on?
Oh, 100%. Whenever I go to their concerts, yeah, he's still the one.
Okay.
All right, Danielle, I actually disagree. I got the opportunity to meet them, and Jordan, his handshake was so weak.
It was a wet noodle.
Right. Meanwhile, Donnie spinned me around, and I was in love. And I was like, all these years, I was pining for the wrong new kid. I should have went with Donnie.
Yeah.
Jenny McCarthy got it right.
Hey, Ann, who was hanging on your wall?
I would have to say I'm a little bit older than you guys, a few years or so. Anything from Tiger Beat. So we're going back to, like, Sean Cassidy and, you know, Scott Baio, that whole genre of the 70s.
Speaking of Tiger Beat, I'm on their website right now. They still exist.
Do they? Wow.
Robin, who was hanging on your wall?
It wasn't on my wall. It was on my ceiling over my bed. Elton John.
Nice. Wow.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Today, I still love him today.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not like above your bed.
Not anymore. Well, we don't know.
Not anymore.
Diana, who was hanging on your wall when you were a kid?
Legolas from Lord of the Rings.
Nice.
Who is that?
Orlando,
I don't know that
Orlando
is.
Bloom, right?
Orlando Bloom from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that makes sense now. Okay.
Yeah. Very handsome for an elf, I guess. Right?
You know, did he look like an elf? in the movies? I'm sorry, I never saw Lord of the Rings.
I mean, yeah, he looked like a sexy elf.
Yeah, but the elves in Lord of the Rings are like, they're taller than humans. They're elegant. It's like, it's a whole other thing. These aren't like Santa's elves
they're
or something like
sexy
that.
Elves. Right.
They're gorgeous.
Elves. Yeah, gorgeous elves.
So. Funny how when you put in Orlando Bloom as an elf, it comes right up immediately.
Oh, of course.
Oh, I see here. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I mean, if it does it for you.
I guess. Right. Yeah. If you're into hobbits.
Awfully pale.
Right.
Super, super pale.
There's this stat that just popped up on the news, and I read it, and I guess it makes sense, but it was kind of shocking. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Are you a hairdresser?
Yes, I'm a hairdresser.
And what's your name?
My name is Trisha.
Trisha, okay. Has a customer ever trauma dumped on you?
Yes, they do all the time. I just recently had a big one happen.
What happened?
So my customer decided to tell me that she has been cheating on her husband, and the person that she's cheating on her husband with is actually her neighbor, which he is friends with her husband. So they're friends, but her husband doesn't know that he's been sleeping with his wife.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. So hold on. How long have you been cutting her hair that she would feel comfortable telling you all this?
It was actually very weird because I just started cutting her hair and she told me on the second appointment.
That's a lot.
I don't know why she decided to.
No, she got to let it out.
Yeah, she needed to let it out. She looked really like upset that day. And I asked him, like, are you okay? She goes, no. And all of a sudden, without me even asking her to tell me, she told me everything.
Mm. I think that it's best, like, sometimes when you have strangers, right? Because you will just literally, there's no filter. You'll let it flow.
She really needed to talk to someone that day, and I guess she chose me.
Do you feel like that happens a lot? How long have you been a hairdresser?
I've been a hairdresser for about 10 years. Huh. And, yeah, it does happen a lot.
Huh.
Most of my appointments, I get some kind of story out of these customers, even guys.
Right. I mean, you're asking, too. I mean, a good hairdresser is always engaging, obviously. So you're asking. So, you know, that's where you sit down. It's the first moment where you sit down and nobody's telling you you have to be somewhere else or do something right at that moment for a lot of people. So they look in the mirror and they go, it's my confession time.
It must be.
According to this poll, hairdresser is the number one occupation that gets trauma dumped on, except for obviously psychologists and psychiatrists.
Well, I mean, you're walking into that office with a purpose, right? It's their job to ask you.
I was just thinking, I was like, what other jobs could you have that you get trauma dumped like that? Like, where else would you feel comfortable just opening up about all the nonsense having your life to almost a complete stranger? Bartenders hear it all the time.
But bartenders are too busy for the most part, right? So you're getting the bartender at the quiet place. Your waitress or waiter, you know, somebody that's serving you at a restaurant, if you're a regular person that serves you your coffee at your coffee shop.
I don't know about that. Like, I would never go to my local Dunkin' and be like, oh, you know, while you're making my medium hot coffee, skim milk, no sugar, let me tell you what my husband did last night. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not necessarily that story. I'm just saying another story.
They say here the most common things that hairdressers get trauma dumped on.
Yeah.
Breakups, dating drama, fertility struggles, and family feuds.
Yeah, well, I guess all those things make sense, right? You want to get those things off your chest. The fertility struggle, that's a little bit surprising to me. But
no, not to me.
No?
I feel like that's like a, you know, you need to talk about it. And when you're sitting there, it comes out.
Clearly it weighs heavy.
Yeah, we asked on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, what career do you think has the most people complaining about their personal lives? Carrie wrote collections office.
Well, I mean, you kind of signed up for that, right?
Family law. Well, yeah, that's what you're paid to do, is listen to my problems and figure them out, I guess.
For sure.
Right. And Joy wrote retail. Actually, Margaret wrote retail, too. That's strange to me because I didn't think that if you would go into like Nordstrom's, Bloomingdale's, you name it, that that's the person that you would start sharing your life story with.
If I've got a complaint in Nordstrom's or Bloomingdale's, it's the price of my shirt.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-330-9999. If you are a hairdresser, what was the last thing that somebody trauma dumped on you? The number one profession that people get trauma dumped, that's when, like, you know, basically strangers tell you all their problems. Hairdresser, which I thought was very surprising. I mean, obviously, psychologists and therapists, that's what you do. That's what you get paid to do.
That's what you're going to the office for.
But not the hairdresser. She just wants to do your hair. And next thing you know, she's got to listen to all your problems, too.
But they always ask, so what's going on?
Mm-hmm. And then it all comes out. 1-800-330-9999. Diana, you're a hairdresser?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Last time somebody trauma dumped on you, what did they say?
So actually, a lot of people will tell me, like, they just found out their husband's having an affair or their marriage is falling apart. But one time that was kind of major, her husband didn't know that she knew yet. She'd been collecting all these receipts and she was coming to me to get her hair done for their anniversary dinner. But actually, she was going to serve him with divorce papers that night.
Oh, you know, when you do it face to face, that's really something.
Yeah.
Most people, when they get to that point, they just send the marshal.
Yeah, he'd been like, his lies were so deep. She just was like raging, but she's like, I'm going to put all this together and I'm going to like hand it to him as if it's card. But I want to look really good. So she's like, that's why I'm here.
Did she get a blowout or an updo?
She got a blowout.
Yeah.
Stacey, are you a hairdresser?
No, I'm a physical therapist, but sometimes I think I should just be a therapist based on the information that people dump on you while you're treating them, from divorces, infidelity, family dynamics. It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Right. You are 100% right. When I went to PT, poor Alex and Lynn, they got it all.
You talk to them about everything.
Everything. They become your friends. You become while you're stretching out my legs and making me do squats.
Well, it's like a team. Like they're helping to rebuild you, right? So you say to yourself, maybe they could help me in all these other ways. It is kind of intimate, right? Somebody's putting their hands on you and, again, trying to help your body come back. Well, I never even thought about that. But you know what? When I had my physical therapy for my knee, same thing. Do you have a memorable story that you were just like, I can't believe this person told me that?
Just family dynamics is just crazy. Some of the things that you hear, you're like, this would be one of those made-up TV movies, but it's real.
Wow.
And sometimes you get to see it. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Luisa, are you a hairdresser?
I am not. I'm actually a dental assistant.
And do you get trauma dumped on?
All the time. I've been doing this for 13 years, and you wouldn't believe the things that patients say sometimes. So, we get it all the time.
Well, Luisa, but aren't there your hands in their mouth? How do they talk?
Right.
Well, you know, they just talk, and believe it or not, over the years, you learn how to understand these people sometimes.
It is quite a gift, right? Like when you can just tune into something. On me, your husband's cheating on you.
What?
Yes. Oh my gosh!
When they come off the anesthesia, I bet you a lot of stuff comes out that they don't even know they're sharing. Probably.
Exactly.
Is there such a thing as a cursed brick?
Hmm.
In March of this year, a package was sent to the Old North Church in Boston with no return address. In it was a brick and a typed note that said, "My husband took this from the crypt. We've had a string of bad luck and we want to return the brick." Nikki Stewart is the executive director of Old North Illuminated. Nikki, what the heck is happening?
It's crazy. We were both astounded and amused when this brick came back to us. I'm not a particularly superstitious person, but immediately I was like, well, I'm not touching that with my bare hand.
Right. Of course. Of course.
Somebody give me a spatula.
Exactly. So it came back in a box with no return address. Shortly after it came back, within a few days, the lights wouldn't turn on in the crypt and none of the breakers were tripped. We did two things. We apologized to the brick and reminded it that it's home, but we did bring in an electrician also.
Okay, clearly. Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, covered both of our bases.
So, smart. Nikki, for the layman who doesn't understand, why would somebody perceive for a moment that this brick had a curse on it?
So, Old North Church, it's the oldest standing church building still in Boston. It's known for the 2FIC lantern signal on the night of Paul Revere's ride. Old North does not have a graveyard. We have a crypt underneath the church with 37 tombs.
Oh.
We believe there were about 1,100 burials before the tombs were sealed in 1860. 2023, we did a major restoration of the crypt with the National Park Service. At that point, a lot of repointing was done. Broken bricks were replaced. So I would guess that whoever took this brick probably did it like right before or right after that project when there were some loose bricks laying around.
So do you think that this is like a crazy person, like the Freemason stuff? Like you think it might be something
no,
like that?
No, I think
like
it's a dumb husband. Did you hear the note?
The dumb guy. I get that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like a treasure hunter or something like that?
It's funny that you should say that
yes.
because people have come really believing that the movie National Treasure is based on a true
story. I was going to say, was one of them like, Nicolas Cage? Because you can't predict where Nicolas Cage is going to show up.
It was not Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
But I think it may be occasionally people who think that Nicolas Cage was really on to something.
Right.
We think that probably what happened, that, you know, one spouse sees the other one taking it and they say, honey, don't do that. That's not a good idea. And no, it's right. Fine. And then every little thing that happens after that, you know, you hit your shit on the coffee table. Right. It's the brick. We just wish we knew what happened.
Me
we
too.
We just want to know the story.
Yeah.
What crazy things have you seen there at the church, right? Like, I mean, it, as you said, I mean, it's the oldest one, right? It's been there forever. So, I mean, obviously I got to think that there's some weird things that go on.
Is it haunted?
You know, at this time of year, we do after hours crypt tours. These are people who wanted to be buried here. They paid good money and they're taken care of and remembered. Like, I would think that people are like resting easy and happy. But some of my colleagues have had questionable experiences. Former sexton who is the caretaker. And oftentimes when they do big cleaning projects in the church, they'll do it at night. And so one night he was vacuuming and he looked up in the church's gallery and he saw two figures watching him. And he could see that there's light coming in through the window, like street light, but shining through them. So they're a little transparent. Mm-hmm. And he gets very uncomfortable. And he says, you know, I'm just taking care of the church. And he made it another minute or so. And then he just left. He just, you know, just turned off the vacuum cleaner and left.
I won't be waxing the floors tonight.
I believe him. He really believed that happened. And it really shook him.
If you see a brick in a crypt, don't take it home with you. It's a bad idea. Nikki Stewart, Executive Director of Old North Illuminated. If you want to learn more about the church and you want to go see this for yourself, if you're ever in your Boston area, you can find them online at oldnorth.com. Have we gone too far? Pittsburgh just put up their downtown Christmas tree. Let me repeat that. Pittsburgh just put up their downtown Christmas tree.
Okay.
More than 2 months before the holiday. It's not even Halloween yet.
I mean, is it a real tree?
Yes.
Is it a fake tree?
No,
it's going to be
one,
a big tree.
The one they light up for the holidays.
Okay.
They put it up.
I mean, like, honestly, like, so what's the big problem with that? If it's going to stay looking relatively green that long, it is a big tree. It seems like an awful long sacrifice to only have it up for like 5 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Local news interview.
Let's go, Rockefeller Plaza.
No.
Plaza. Come on. Let's go.
They did a local news interview, and they asked the small child what he thought, and even he logically knew this is ridiculous.
What?
I'm really excited because we're going to ice skate on me and my family are gonna ice skate on the tree, but I gotta say, they should have waited for Halloween first.
I mean, at least wait for Halloween. You know how I feel. You gotta respect the turkey. If you don't respect Thanksgiving and have that first, you can't jump into the holiday season of Christmas and all those holidays until you have the turkey.
But then again, if you do that, you got like 5 weeks and then it's got to come down, right?
Because
you're one of those people there, it's got to come down as soon as, you know, the holidays are over, basically.
Right. Because everything is for a short period. You can't just keep celebrating for months and months.
Why not?
It diminishes it.
Why are you a theft of joy? Why are you going to be the thievery of joy? Like, just, you know, allow people to have a good time. It's like the Christmas lights debate. Some people really like them, and it makes them feel festive for longer than just a few weeks.
Raven, you only say that because you don't take yours down until May.
Well, that's different. That's not my... That is accurate. You know what I'm really thinking about doing lately?
Oh, gosh.
You've seen them at Costco, right? And they have the people that install them. But you put the lights that are around the entire perimeter of the house, and then you can make them whatever color you want whenever you want to. I never have to put the lights up again.
Okay.
And by definition, I would also never have to take them off again.
All right.
So I can do festive lights during Christmas. I can do Halloween lights.
I just believe that every holiday.
Yellow for Easter?
I get it. I understand.
Green for Arbor Day?
We're going to move on. Okay, we're going to move on from this conversation.
All right.
All right, Cowboys owner.
I'm with you, Chicago.
Jerry Jones. Pittsburgh. Jerry Jones was fined $250,000 for giving a New York Jets fan the finger at the MetLife Stadium on Sunday.
Okay, that was the gesture. Because honestly, when I first heard about it, I didn't know what he did. I thought it was going to be worse. I 100% thought it was going to be worse.
First of all, the middle finger is corny. And I don't understand why it's such a big deal still.
Mm-hmm. But it bothers you to no end.
Well, it doesn't. It's not that it bothers me.
No.
It just, I feel like it's so played out and it has... Well, every time we talk about it, he just gives me the finger.
Because it bothers you.
Because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that this was ever a thing. And when you see people give each other the finger when they're driving, I just think to myself, What are you doing?
That's like, where you most frequently get it. So who's the last person that gave you the finger? Because for me, it was like a 92-year-old woman who was doing like 62 in the fast lane.
Yeah.
And when she finally moved over, she flipped me off.
Yeah. My
and I was like, okay, grandma.
I got the double middle finger for some dude that just flew into our parking lot while I was reversing, and I looked at him like, what are you doing?
Right.
And
that
he
was
gave me
here.
The double middle. Right. But also my 4-year-old niece. She realized somebody told her you're not supposed to do that. So every once in a while, I just see her giving things the middle finger.
Yeah.
Her Alexa, teddy bears.
A bush.
Anything. She's just
something
doing.
You pass by. You know what? I'm mistaken. Somebody else gave me the finger recently, too. A guy sped into my neighborhood. We're walking the dog. Say, hey, man, speed limit's, 35 or 25 or whatever. He was a delivery guy. And he pulled out and he went the other way down the other street. So we couldn't see his license plate while he flicked me off.
Okay. And did you feel good about it?
No.
No, right. Yeah.
But I'm looking for your car, bro. Nissan with the black bumper. You know that I know you.
Okay.
It's Nobel Prize time. This is when they award these awards to the smartest people in the entire world.
Are they always the smartest? I mean, some of them are scientists and all that stuff, but other people could be like, somebody that just did something good.
So it happens throughout the week. Yeah. And the sequence typically goes, first they award for medicine, then physics, then chemistry.
Are smart people.
Yes.
We all agree on that.
Right. And then they do literature, peace, and economic sciences.
Okay. I mean, some of those you could be like wicked smart, and other ones you could just be like, I was in the right place at the right time. I had these two guys, shake hands, and then all of a sudden things worked out, and then, now I get the Peace Prize.
This year for medicine, the Nobel Prize in Physiology was awarded to Mary Bruckow, Fred Ramsdell, and Shimon Suguchi. Their research revealed how the immune system maintains peripheral immune tolerance, essentially how the body prevents its immune system from attacking its own cells.
It has never been so painful to watch you read two sentences as it was right there.
It was really hard.
Are you okay?
My head might explode.
Right. Take a break.
I'm not even going to try physics.
No, don't.
Macroscopic quantum mechanical tunneling and energy quantization. Those are real words that are printed on this.
Yeah. I don't know if you're saying them correctly, but right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So how about you? If you had to win a Nobel Prize for what you did this past year. Maybe you didn't figure out how the cells attack your own body.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, personally, myself, we had two trees that we cut down. And when you call for bulk pickup for the town, you're supposed to, all the wood has to be less than 4 feet, less than 4 feet.
Yeah.
And it has to be stacked supposedly with the cut edge, facing the street. That used to be the way it was written anyways in the code. They've changed that part of the code where it just has to be cut. But I still stacked it with the cut edge to the street the entire time. It's pretty good. Thank you. Thank you. Three trees. I mean, it was a lot. It's a lot of wood. By the way, it took them 10 days to pick it up. Mm-hmm. They took the absolute maximum amount of time, and my grass is all dead now where it was. So thank you. That's what I got in return.
You know what I accomplished for my Nobel Prize?
What did you do?
Once again, I saved Apollo. My best friend during COVID, Danielle. I'm talking to you, Danielle.
Okay.
Their family wanted a tortoise, and I told her, don't get a tortoise.
You did tell them that.
I said,
do remember.
Don't.
How many years has it been now?
Too many, Raven.
Yeah, okay. So what happened?
They got the tortoise.
Yeah.
They bought the tortoise, a whole condo set up. They decide after everything's over, they don't want the tortoise.
I mean, that's wrong, by the way, Danielle. And I trust your heart in all other matters, but that one is not good.
These animals live to be like 375 years old.
Yes.
Yeah. So we can't find anybody to take the tortoise, Apollo. And over, and I try everybody. So finally, I reach out to a local...
A tortoise rescue?
It's a rescue place that helps injured animals and unwanted animals. And it's a great place. And they say, we will take Apollo the tortoise. On one condition.
Yeah.
You host our annual fundraising gala the first Saturday in October.
From the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your professional life.
So now Apollo lives with the children at this preschool at this great nature center. And every first Saturday for the rest of my life.
It's a true story.
I have to go and raise money for the organization.
It's a true story.
Yeah. That's what I did. And I did it this past weekend again.
You know what?
And Danielle didn't even come with me.
I had forgotten. Wow. That is wrong. I had forgotten
One
that.
One of my other girlfriends said to me, she's like, I've got this bunny. I go, don't even say it.
Don't call me.
No. I was like, well, you want me to spend my Christmas day there for the rest of my life too? What did you do this past year that has earned you the Nobel Prize? 1-800-330-9999. It's Nobel Prize Week, so this is the most brilliant minds in the world getting awarded for their work. Mm-hmm. And it's medicine, physics, chemistry, literature, peace, economic sciences throughout the week. For chemistry, the Nobel Prize was awarded to Sumsumu Kadokawa, and their work involves metal organic frameworks, porous nanoscale structures that can trap and release molecules, including gases and water.
Well, you know, and Anna, in our listening audience, I'm sure at least 80% of the people right now are doing that exact same thing in their kitchen.
Yes.
But if you're part of the other 20% who did not do this great chemistry thing, what is it you did this year to earn your prize? Because I'm sure you did something very noble.
1-800-330-9999. Suzanne, what did you do this past year to earn your Nobel Prize?
Well, my husband has been working, and I am here by myself with my three boys.
Uh-huh.
So I think I deserve two Nobel Prizes.
How long has that been going on?
Since March.
That is a long
time. That's a long time. We were just talking about this oddly last night. Like, how long is too long to be without your spouse when you live separately?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Very, very challenging, but I think of the people in the 1800s with courier pigeons. I have technology.
Suzanne said, yes. I think of the pilgrims.
Yeah, scurvy, they die from the flu. Right. Yeah.
Alexander Hamilton, he had to go. He was far away for a long time. Yeah. Left the Liza back.
They thought athlete's foot was the work of witches. Right. It was very different. You are correct.
Thank you, Suzanne. You enjoy your Nobel Prize. We'll give it to you.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
Hey, Mary, what'd you do this year to earn your prize?
Well, I made a big change. You know, when you're going through the checkout and the cashier is really nasty and you want to say, you know, if you hate your job so much, why don't you just quit?
Yeah.
Well, instead, I now say, it looks like you might be having a really hard day. I hope it gets better. And three or four times now, I've had people's entire demeanor just change and kind of relax. So I think people are having a hard time, and it's good to recognize that.
That's
nice of you. Yeah.
That's really nice.
It is nice of you.
All right. It's better than what I do is just don't make eye contact.
That's right. I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I should have went self-service on this one. Right.
Like, she's having a bad day. I'm going to stay away. Thanks, Mary.
Hey there, Will. Tell us, what did you do this year to earn your prize?
I created the first AI movie. It's called Nomed Station, N-O-M-E-D, Station, and it's from my award-winning book, Nomed Station.
No kidding. That's cool. Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment for yourself, Will. That's great. Is the movie any good? Is it any good? Tell us the truth.
I mean, you got to tell me, but I think it's really, really good. You got to check it out. You can go to willsurvive.com, SAVIV.com to check it out. And I have 14 books published. I'm a horror author.
Oh, no kidding. That's cool. Anna's all in it, checking it out
I'm
right
looking,
now.
Yeah, I'm online. I'm looking it out. Yeah, horror thriller novels.
Thanks for being
with
us, Will. We appreciate your support of the show, man. We're going to check it out, and we may call you for something weird now.
Yeah, hold on. We need your phone number.
All right, hold on, Will. We're going to get your number. Hold on.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. What did you do this past year to earn your Nobel Prize? It's Nobel Prize time, and what that means is the most brilliant minds in the world are being awarded for their work over the past year. And in physics, if you want to give a congratulations to John Clark and Mikhail Devaret, they have experiments showing that macroscopic quantum mechanical tunneling and energy quantization in superconducting circuits. I don't even know what that means.
I was doing the exact same thing before I got into radio.
That's not true.
Right before I was doing the show, that's what I was doing.
Maybe you weren't doing all that kind of stuff. But maybe you did do something this past year that you think, I should get a Nobel Prize for that.
For sure.
What was it? 1-800-330-9999. Henry.
I've been putting the toilet seat down for my wife. And let me tell you, it was a tough transition at first. But, you know, that's what being a good person is about. It's all about, you know, doing the right thing.
Amen. Look at this, dude. I did it my whole life, Anna, and some reason over the last couple of years, I've reverted to not doing it all the time.
Putting down the seat?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's so weird.
My husband not only puts down the seat, he puts down the cover.
Yeah, I like the top seat to be down.
I don't. I always leave it up.
Just in case. You got to run?
No, I've never been. How long does it take to lift the lid up? It takes nothing, but for some reason, I never, ever put it down.
I mean, the fact that you have it up tells me that it better be clean every single day, because if it ain't, that's gross. But if it's up and it's clean, I mean, I'm just, what is that, your ocean view? I'm trying to understand what the appeal is for you.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. They're clean.
Well, that's a relief. Hi, Marilyn. What'd you do this past year to earn your Nobel Prize?
Well, it was just a couple weeks ago. I helped raise almost $100,000 for Damon Runyon Cancer Research Foundation.
Oh.
That's fantastic.
With the help of Anna's dad.
Oh, I was about to say, wait a minute. I think I hosted that event.
Hi.
Yes.
You know how I love to talk on the radio, so I just wanted to call you and say thank you again.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I did. And
thank
I'm about
you,
to do it again next weekend in Boston.
Yeah. All
you
right.
Go get them.
I hope you go raise another $100,000. I was honored to be part of the event. Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you so much.
Nina, what did you do this year that 100% you're getting the Nobel Prize?
Well, I managed to not go off on any of my castmates in my group chat. It was a rough previous year. So this year, though I was triggered, I did not get kicked off the show.
Wait, what show?
It's an internet reality series. And first season was a little rough. I had, you know, a very strong personality. So they would say things that would bother me. I was the feisty one.
Yeah.
And this year I told myself that, you know, I wasn't going to be that one this year. And so though they did aggravate me, I did not respond. I turned the other cheek the whole time.
I had no idea there were internet reality shows going on here. And it's like training for like television reality shows.
Are we allowed to talk about which
it's
one
like
it is?
The Farm League, right? Can we talk about the show?
Yeah, I can. It's called The Baddest. It's on HHN-TV.
I can't cry for the
second season. We just started filming for it.
The Baddest is streaming on HHN-TV, Hip Hop Network TV.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, I like
this.
There's a Reddit thread. Real talk, what have been the worst moments of HHH era in comparison with Vince's many fails? Who's Vince?
Wait a minute.
Oh, I could fall right into this.
Wait a minute. Is this your booty right here on this photo here on Instagram?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you which one I am.
All right.
Now we're going to have to guess. That's fun.
Oh, gosh. I got to know which one you are. All right. Well, congratulations. And here's your prize, your Nobel Prize for not fighting your cast members here.
Up.
Oh, somebody's shaking their head. It looks like something's about to go down in this one.
Okay. Look at you all, huh? Okay.
All right, let's get back to work.
Well, we can do the detective work after. We'll just play her voice next to these voices.
Okay, again, then tell me about it.
All right. Lovely. Well, thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, though.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's just up for you to decide who's right. Hunter and Kristen. Kristen, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my husband's sister has been taking care of our daughter a while now. She already has a daughter. All of a sudden, after the past year, she wants to start charging us money. With this new development, it makes me think, why pay her when we could actually pay someone that will give our child a little bit of education? So why not send them to daycare instead?
Hunter, what's your side? What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's my sister, and she knows how she gets. I mean, it'll turn into a whole drama. She'll start getting passive-aggressive about the whole thing and just don't want to hear the snide comments about being greedy or just not valuing her in general. She'll say something like, oh, we only valued her because the help was free, perhaps a little bit selfishly. I have to take all of the kids in a couple of weeks, and then she's probably going to make some comment about, oh, well, do I have to pay you to look at my kid for a few hours? And, you know, I can just imagine with the holidays coming up, it's going to turn into even a bigger mess. Honestly, I mean, I am concerned about our kids. It's going to be a big adjustment, understand how to behave there. And it's expensive. I don't see why we have to just jump right into running away from my sister, bringing all this drama when maybe we can talk to her first.
So let me just ask some specifics here. So basically, she's watching your daughter along with her daughter. I'm assuming they go to school together. What is this, after school? What is this?
No, so they're my daughter is 2 and her daughter is 3.
Okay, so is she stay at home?
Neither of them are in school. Yeah, she stays at home with the girls.
Okay, so I mean, I don't know. What's the harm of paying her something?
Look, we are so loose with her. She's dropped the kids off early because something pops up. She's dropped them off at my work before. She's done the same to my husband. Like, she kind of does what she wants. And I just feel like we're always kind of like bailing her out financially. And I feel like this is like another ploy. I get that she's your baby sister, but she has you wrapped around her finger.
But I mean, she's watching your daughter every day.
But, you know, I can understand that I have been blessed with having my mom watch my girls, right?
Right.
But when you're dealing with family, when they can't do something or they're running late or they're running early, it becomes very inconvenient when you're working.
Of course it is.
So what I'm getting from you, Kristen, is if you're going to pay somebody, they're going to come with certain guarantees.
Yeah, I mean, she's inconsistent sometimes. We could either pay her to continue to do what she's been doing, or we could pay someone to actually, like, educate our daughter. So it's like, daycare is expensive, and what she's asking for is right along there. And $700 a week, and I feel like that's a lot.
$700 a week is a daycare.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money. Yeah. I mean, if it was considerably less, that'd be one thing. I mean, if it's the same amount of money, then I'd probably hire professionals myself, too. I wouldn't make that decision based on whether or not my sister was going to make passive-aggressive comments. But maybe I'm wrong.
All right. Do you cause a rift in your family because your sister asked for money to watch your child? Maybe they should go to a daycare.
If you're paying high-end prices, you want a high-end result. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
Your sister-in-law wasn't 100% reliable, but watched your two-year-old daughter regularly and all of a sudden wanted to get paid for it. What would you do? That's what's going on with Kristen and Hunter. Kristen says, for $700 a week, she is so unreliable. Why are we going to pay her all this money? Let's just finally put her in daycare.
Yeah, I mean, I think the price point here is a real sticking point, right? Listen, I mean, there is nothing that is 100% reliable. And that goes for a daycare, too. Every one of these things faces, you know, shutdowns or whatever at this point nowadays, right? And it's always at the worst time. However, $700 is premium, right? Like, I mean, if you're paying somebody $700, you want to be able to rely on them. You can't just find out the day before, oh, well, I can't do tomorrow.
Well, Hunter says that we can't do that because it'll just seem to her like you've been watching our daughter for all this time. And now that you've asked for money, we're jumping ship and going somewhere else. It's going to cause a big problem in the family. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Andrea.
On hers. I think that paying for daycare is crucial this time because when these children go to kindergarten, they have to know their alphabet. They have to write their name. It's so different from when we grew up. So I believe a daycare would help her get the education she's going to thrive when starting school versus, I don't know if her sister's doing that, her sister-in-law.
Right.
But that's my vote.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Your sister-in-law watched your two-year-old daughter and then all of a sudden, after a significant amount of time, asked that you start paying her. Would you do it or just send your daughter to daycare?
This is the conundrum for Hunter and Kristen. Hunter's sister has been watching their two-year-old for over the past year. She's got a three-year-old of her own. The girls get along, so this has always been a good situation. But now she's turned around and she's asked for $700 a week. Kristen says that's far too much money. If we're going to pay somebody, I want to make sure we're getting the other stuff we can rely on from a daycare.
Right. If she's not reliable and canceling last minute or saying you have to come pick up your daughter early, I have errands to run, that's troublesome too. What do you think? Ed, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I've actually been there, and I'm saying bite the bullet, put the kid in daycare. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Yeah.
Because when the family member gets pissed off or not happy or whatever move, they're going to say, I can't do it today. And it's always at the worst convenience. I've gone from Comac to my mom's house to drop off my daughter because it was last minute. After that, I said, no more.
Yeah.
Bite the bullet, pay. $700 a week, I hope that comes with food.
Yeah. Thanks, Ed. Patricia, whose side are you on?
I think, well, first of all, if the sister's trying to charge $700, I would try to negotiate with her. I would ask her, well, will you accept $400 because you're not, you know, that consistent. But if she's firm with that $700, I would definitely send her to daycare. But she's safe with the sister. Nowadays, you don't know who's safe. You got to do a background check, and that costs a fortune. So I'm kind of on the husband's side. Does he have to negotiate with his sister and let her know? She has to be more consistent.
Hey, doing it's Mike. I'm on the husband's side, but for different reasons. First of all, you do pay her, but you pay her after having a conversation about what you expect. This way, if she doesn't live up to it, it gives you an out without having any animosity to deal with. And that's it. That's your way out of it.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kristen, our audience agreed with you. If you don't feel that she's watching your child as the best she can, she's inconsistent, unreliable, but she wants to get paid the same as a daycare would get paid, that's not fair. And at least with a daycare, there's accountability. So maybe it might be time to make the switch.
Awesome. I'm very excited that people agreed with me.
I hope it works out, guys. I mean, good luck as soon as somebody there's got COVID or something like that and they shut down the place for 2-3 days. I mean, that's going to be inconvenient, too. You might have your sister on the side phone. But, if you're paying for it, then you might as well get the other things that you're looking for. Hunter, you're just going to have to hit this one head on with your sister. You're not going to pay her. And maybe she's going to be a little bit passive aggressive. The votes are against you.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. I'm not looking forward to the conversation. So I think Kristen's going to have to help me out with that one. And you make a good point about if the whole daycare shuts down, where are we going to be? Who's going to be our sitter then if we've kind of turned this into a family drama? But it's good to hear the results. And yeah, I guess got to face it.
$700 a week for somebody's toddler who's the same age as your own toddler doesn't make much sense to me if they're family.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$700 is a jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Sue and Ava, ready to play today?
Yes, we are.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, you two. $700. Here we go.
All right.
Thank you.
So Raven's walking out of here. That door's going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yes.
Number 1. Americans buy 745 million pounds of candy for Halloween. What candy melts in your mouth, not in your hands?
M&M's.
Number 2, AMC is putting a bunch of items up for auction for their series about a world overrun by zombies known as walkers. What show is that?
That's The Walking Dead.
Number 3, the dog actors who played Lassie are ranked number 1 on a list of best dog performances in movies and TV shows. What kind of dog is Lassie?
A collie.
Number 4, NBC is coming out with a game show based on the New York Times puzzle Wordle, with Savannah Guthrie is set to host. How many letters are there in each Wordle word?
5.
And number 5, 30 Bob Ross paintings are being sold at auction to help fund public TV stations. What was the name of Bob Ross's TV show?
The Joy of Painting. What was it?
The Joy of Painting.
The Joy of Painting.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Ew. Oh, my God.
Sue and Ava got all 5 right.
Oh, okay. Looks like somebody wants the money.
Woo!
Let's see how I do. Here we go.
All right. Let's see.
I half hope I lose for you.
Hold on. All right. Yeah. Number 1, Americans buy 745 million pounds of candy for Halloween. What candy melts in your mouth, not in your hands?
It's M&M's.
Right. Number 2, AMC is putting a bunch of items up for auction for their series about a world overrun by zombies known as walkers. What show is that?
That'd be The Walking Dead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Number 3, the dog actors who played Lassie are ranked number 1 on a list of best dog performances in movies and TV shows of history.
Yeah.
What kind of dog is Lassie?
Collie. Yeah. Border collie, I think. Yep.
It's a rough collie?
It's a collie.
Yep. Number 4, NBC is coming out with a game show based on the New York Times puzzle Wordle. Savannah Guthrie is going to set to host. How many letters are in each Wordle word?
Now, I'm not a player, but I remember it was so big. Is it 5?
5 is right.
Okay. I was going to guess 4 or 5. 5, yep.
And number 5, mm-hmm. 30 Bob Ross paintings are being sold at auction to help fund public TV stations.
Oh, I love Bob Ross.
What was the name of Bob Ross's TV show?
The Joy of Painting.
Yes.
It's Bob Ross. I'm so sorry, but I mean, you can't end with Bob Ross. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sorry, ladies. You tied at 5. What that does do is put your name on a list, and when we get around to do Redemption Week, you'll have your chance to come back. Those that tie Raven with 5 always get a chance to come back in the future.
Great game, though. I mean, those were not easy. So
that was fun. Well, this is Sue and Ava, and we cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. We will meet again. Enjoy that shirt. $800 tomorrow, Anna.